Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Saying he is canceling the last administration's deal with Cuba, President Trump has begun undoing parts of President Obama's agreements with Havana. New measures including tightening restrictions on tourism travel and prohibiting financial dealings with entities tied to Cuba and military and the intelligence services. President Trump traveled to the U.S. city of Miami, Florida to make the announcement.
We all accept that all nations have the right to chart their own paths, and I'm certainly a very big believer in that. So we will respect Cuban sovereignty, but we will never turn our backs on the Cuban people. That will not happen.
This American tourist in Havana took issue with President Trump's new Cuba policy.
I think it's better if the American tourists can come to Cuba. I think it helps support the Cuban people, and I think they deserve that.
White House officials said many of the Obama-era changes would remain in place. According to senior administration officials, Americans will still be able to travel to Cuba under approved categories, but there will be stricter enforcement to ensure travelers fit those categories. U.S. Embassy will be remaining open in Havana. President Trump has continued a campaign on Twitter against the investigations into possible links between his campaign and Russia. Mr. Trump said he's being investigated for firing the FBI director by the man who told him to fire the FBI director. Then he added to that tweet the words, witch hunt. This followed a report Mr. Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is under investigation for his financial dealings that might involve Russia. Meantime, investigations continue in Congress. This is VOA News. U.S. Navy is saying that seven American sailors are missing after one of its destroyers collided with a merchant vessel early today off the coast of Japan. The USS Fitzgerald collided with a Philippine flag container ship. As we know now, no one was reported injured. Such collisions between two ships are rare, and it's not immediately clear what caused these two vessels to collide. One of the physicians treating U.S. Congressman Steve Scalise, who was seriously wounded in an attack on Republican lawmakers at a baseball field near Washington, says his vital signs are good. Dr. Jack Sava is in charge of trauma treatment at the MedStar Washington Hospital Center.
Congressman Scalise sustained a single rifle wound that entered in the area of the left hip. It traveled directly across towards the other hip in what we call a transpelvic gunshot wound. The round fragmented and did substantial damage to bones, internal organs, and blood vessels.
Many members of the House and Senate from both major political parties have spoken warmly about Scalise's gregarious nature this week, and leading figures throughout the American political spectrum, from President Trump on down to local leaders, have taken note of the shooting as a cautionary tale not to let differences of opinion escalate to violence and bloodshed. International Organization for Migration is reporting efforts are ongoing to rescue around 200 migrants from Somalia and Ethiopia who have been kidnapped in Libya and are being held for ransom. Lisa Schlein reporting now from IOM headquarters in Geneva.
News of the kidnappings and illegal detentions in Libya first surfaced in a video which appeared on Facebook on June 9th. The International Organization for Migration says families of the missing men and women have received ransom demands based on short video clips depicting scenes of active torture. IOM spokesman Joel Millman tells VOA the source of the video is not known, but there is little doubt as to its veracity. The IOM reports it is working with partners to try to locate the migrants. It says IOM staff, in coordination with authorities in Libya, is trying to trace and potentially aid in the rescue of these victims. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And Helmut Kohl, the former German chancellor credited with forging reunification between East and West Germany in 1990, has died. He was 87. Get more news at our website. You can find us at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Davis here, welcoming you to another hour of the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation with the music makers on Jazz America from VOA1. This hour will continue our salute to the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame. Just a few weeks ago, I traveled to my old hometown of Birmingham, Alabama, and that on the north side of the city is where the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame is located, in the historic Carver Theater. I had a visit there with the executive director, Dr. Leah Tucker, and musician, educator, and director, Ray Reach, as well as Dr. Tolton Rosser, who is not only an inductee in the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame, but one who is a great musician and has known and played with some of those fellow inductees. We'll get some thoughts from him as well. Let's begin this hour, though, with another of the greats of Alabama jazz history, born and raised in the state of Alabama, and certainly became a citizen of the world and one of the most popular vocalists in all of jazz history. Ladies and gentlemen, Alabamian Dinah Washington with the Quincy Jones Orchestra and the song Relax, Max, from the classic album The Swingin' Miss D.
Your heart is thumping with a crazy sound. Hear it pound. Bumping, 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 jumping up and down. Stay cool, cool. Just take it easy, that's the rule. The evening hasn't even started yet. So my pet, control yourself, don't get upset. Don't think I'm cold if I say you're too bold. But first you gotta prove your love to me. When you do, I'll love you, love you, love you like you want me to.
Alabama, the home of country music, rock music, blues for sure, soul, and jazz. And that is a taste of the funky side of things from a horn player who is a big part of James Brown's famous band, the J.B. Horns. He was born in Georgia, but raised as a young man in Mobile, Alabama, Fred Wesley. And the J.B.'s from the album I Like It Like That, with a song entitled Homeboy. Russ Davis here, and it's time to return to the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame and get a little bit more insight into the activities there from the two directors, the executive director, Dr. Leah Tucker, and musician, educator, and director, Ray Reach.
I love the phrase, the old African proverb, each one must teach one. Mm-hmm. And you folks here at the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame have taken that to heart.
We do put our heart and soul into keeping jazz alive by honoring these musicians, by trying to play their music and trying to teach their music to our Saturday jazz kids. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we do it every Saturday. Jazz is our highlight. They have to improvise. They have separate classes in drums, guitar, the big band. They also have jazz theory, and then we have an advanced class, too. So they're learning the history of jazz, the music of jazz, how to arrange it, sing it, tap your foot to it, and how to perform. I mean, they're doing all that on a Saturday, and we do this for free.
This is amazing.
It's amazing because we also give them the opportunity to come firsthand in special workshops with professional jazz musicians. Mm. They did a workshop with Joey Alexander, the new up-and-coming Grammy Award and Grammy-nominated artist.
Yeah. He's great.
I mean, he came and he spent some time with our kids and also did a performance. We just recently did our Student Jazz Band Festival. We do it every year. We bring in the top jazz bands in the state from middle school through college. And we have 3 days of jazz where each band has to play jazz compositions. They are adjudicated by 3 judges. Mm. We've also had people like Esperanza Spalding here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, who did a jazz workshop for our kids.
See, that's one of the things is a lot of the people who work, many jazz studies majors end up playing pop music for a living of some sort. They end up touring with James Taylor or touring with you name Barbara Streisand or whoever, you know. And they can do it because, A, they can read anything that you put in front of them, and, B, they can improvise a solo when called upon. Mm-hmm. So your average symphonic player can't do that. They can only read the notes that are put in front of them. Wow. So that's a very common thing. Nowadays I tell my kids when they come in and they're considering studying music in college, I tell them, get a music education degree, but practice like you're a performance major.
That's brilliant. Ray, give me some more thoughts about that.
Well, we have a wonderful faculty here, and, you know, it's a great joy to me. I'm 68 years old, and I have friends that are counting the days until they can retire from a job that they hate. And I get up every day, let's get going, you know. I love doing what I'm doing, and the giving back part to the students, that's what makes the whole effort. It makes it worth the whole effort of doing it, you know.
And that just makes me feel good inside when I meet those kids or see them again after knowing them from, you know, like third grade on up, you know.
I know you know what you're doing to these kids. It gives you that moment, that victory in your life where you get confidence and you can express yourself. You're not hiding anymore. You're there and you're presenting it.
You put that on the
table. And, you know, and that's got to give you a great, great, I know it does. You've expressed it, Dr. Tucker, and Ray Reach, I know you dealing with those kids. You're already a great player in your own right as a keyboard player, composer, and director, and producer. But you have to find a way, maybe not even putting into words by asking a question or making a statement or giving a directive, but instead finding a way to tap into that magic they know they have inside themselves that you know they have in there. Well, here's the music of another Alabamian who had some magic inside of him. He was born in the northern part of the state in the lake and mountainous region, Florence, Alabama. His name, W.C. Handy, who wrote the song that many people consider the first jazz composition, St. Louis Blues. Here's a version of that song from the award-winning Gershwin's World album, Herbie Hancock with Stevie Wonder on vocals and harmonica on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Ah, the bluesy side of music made in Birmingham, Alabama, the home of the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame. That is another cut from the album featuring Ray Reach and the UAB Super Jazz Band, featuring Ellis Marsalis, the great patriarch of the NEA Jazz Master Marsalis family, and the song After Hours. More of our celebration of the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame coming up, but first,
I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you, and here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice, so write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, at, that's the at sign, voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com.
And here's a message I've received, which reads as follows. Hi, my name is Seth Onku in Accra, Ghana. I was in my kitchen preparing our breakfast yesterday and listening to real good jazz numbers coming from the VOA radio station. I picked up the email address when it was announced and decided to drop a brief note. I'm 55 years old and a Ghanaian by birth. I'll trust that you'll drop a brief back to me and take it from there. I lived a long time in the UK, but I am back home now into distance education and have been a real fan of jazz since my childhood days. Cheers, Seth Anku. Well, Seth, thank you so much, and I'm so pleased that you've enjoyed jazz over the years in your life. And to add to your education, I sent him a brief history of jazz that I put together, just some high points so that you can have a frame of reference, if you will, if you're a newcomer to jazz, and I'd be happy to send it to you if you send me an email at jazzamerica@voanews.com, and I'll send it right along. Well, Seth, here's one for you and certainly a piece of jazz history from Alabama. A gentleman born in the state of Alabama and world famous, Nat King Cole, and from his brand new release, and I do say brand new even though he's been gone for a while, they've just rediscovered a performance by the Nat King Cole Trio from Zurich, Switzerland from 1950. We gave you a cut from it earlier in the show, and here's another as Nat King Cole sings the classic by Johnny Mercer, Too Marvelous for Words, to begin this set of music on VOA's Jazz America.
Too marvelous, too marvelous for words, like glorious, glamorous, and Adam stand by hammer us. You're just too wonderful, I'll never find the words that tell it up, spell it up, I mean they just aren't swelling up. You're much, and just too very, very, too ever be in Webster's Dictionary. And so I'm borrowing a love song from the birds to tell you that you're marvelous, too marvelous for words. Just too wonderful, I'll never find the word that tell it up, spell it up, I mean they just aren't swelling up. You're much too much and just too very, very to ever be in Webster's dictionary. And so I'm borrowing a love song from the birds to tell you that you're marvelous, too marvelous a word.
The direction of one of our special guests on this edition of Jazz America, one of the directors of the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame, Ray Reach, great piano player and composer and band leader, leading the Magic City Jazz Orchestra with Lou Marini on saxophone from his album Lou's Blues with the song Mr. Clean. The Magic City is the nickname for Birmingham, as it was just a small town until all the makings of steel were discovered there. It became a steel-making metropolis and the Magic City, growing up almost overnight. Now it's time to turn to another of our special guests, Dr. Talton Rosser, great musician, educator, and inductee in the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame,
who just happened to play with Alabama-born jazz greats like Erskine Hawkins, as you heard from earlier, and Mr. Sonny Blunt, also known as Sun Ra. Dr. Rosser, the way I look at it is that jazz has been evolving since the first notes that anybody called jazz were made, just like life does. It just really can't stay this in the same place. You can remember the past, and maybe somebody who's playing Take the A Train for the 1,000th time is playing something beautiful that people are really enjoying, and there is not a thing wrong with that. It's one of the great songs, and there are many others. But Sun Ra, I think, had the vision that I'm going to take this music, this improvised music, born out of the blues, and all these elements that came in to make what it is at this point in history, I'm going to take it to a place it has never been before. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, if you said the word improvise to Sun Ra, he'd look at you funny. He really wouldn't know what you were really talking about. But he did it all the time. And I think that more than him personally playing, I think the opportunity that he provided for musicians, even younger musicians. I started in high school, early high school, and there were guys like me by the dozens. Mm. And Sun Ra provided a job for us. Mm. Now, we were all high school and junior high school, and we had learned how to play quarter notes and whole notes. Sun Ra didn't bother himself too much with that. What he bothered himself with was giving you an opportunity to make music and make some sense out of it and make jazz be alive. Mm. Because the notes that you see are not really music. They're just the symbols for music. It only becomes music when somebody does something to them to make something happen. And it's the way some people are able to organize, put it together, that makes it really work. We mentioned Tuxedo Junction. I guess I've heard 50 different arrangements of Tuxedo Junction. For most of them, it's same old thing. But now and then, something just happens. You don't know where it is. You can't put your hand on it and say, man, that was great. No. We don't use that term anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, but it happens. Mm-hmm. Sun Ra was able to do that. Mm-hmm. As I was saying, Sun Ra's home office was right across the street in front of the front door where you were standing just a few minutes ago.
Wow.
And he stood there. Now, as you walk down 4th Avenue, and this one block is 4th Avenue, this is our Beale Street. Mm-hmm. This is our, you name it. Mm-hmm. This is it. Ra would tell a fella, if you can walk like the army and blow it in time, you can play, boy. I'll show you how. He would give an opportunity to do that.
That's a teacher.
Right here, where you're sitting now.
We'll bring this conversation to a close. Dr. Rosser, thank you so much for all of your thoughts about Erskine Hawkins, Sun Ra, and painting the picture of the Birmingham spirit of its musical community.
Thank you for talking to me. I knew you were somebody when I walked in the door, because people just don't come down to the Jazz Hall of Fame because they have no place else to go. They don't come here to stand around. They come here because, so if you stay here, something's going to happen, just like what you did here. Somebody will walk in, somebody you know, somebody you've known, somebody you've played with, and it makes a difference.
Well, I knew my soul was here. I just had to come pick it up. That's all. Thank you again, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
You got it.
Raised in Birmingham, Alabama, Sonny Blunt, a.k.a. Sun Ra, one of the kings of free jazz, with Call for All Demons. Here's one more taste of Alabama jazz from a band called Meteorite. The song is Z-Bop on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you.
great saxophonist Joshua Redman from his album Momentum and his version of the Led Zeppelin rock classic, The Crunch, turned into modern jazz. I didn't play that one because Joshua Redman hails from Alabama. He is going to be performing as part of the lineup for the 38th edition of the Festival Internacional de Jazz de Montreal, the Montreal Jazz Festival, beginning on the 28th of June and running through the 8th of July. This is Russ Davis, your host for Jazz America, and I'm making plans on being at the Montreal Jazz Festival again and giving you a preview of the festival on the next edition of Jazz America. I hope you'll join me then.